Energy and Emissions Reduction Minister Angus Taylor, and look forward to doing that again right now. The Minister is on the line. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Look, first up, the federal government's creating these regional hubs around the country. I mentioned a moment ago, I think there's one over in the Pilbara, there's one down in Victoria. We've got one that's been created here in Newcastle and Hunter, and I think there are two in Queensland, far north Queensland, and I think it's further south. What's the concept here about these regional hubs around Australia that your government's creating?
Look, there's a focus here on building the hydrogen industry, where we see huge potential, of course, to export energy products, as we have in Australia for many years. I mean, Newcastle's the biggest coal port in the world, of course. And hydrogen, of course, is a fuel where we see the demand growing very rapidly in the years coming. We also see potential for processing of that hydrogen. So if you look at the steel industry and where it's going, for instance, the fuel source we're going to see more of in the coming years to make steel will be hydrogen. So in these hubs, we see great potential for value-added processing right. of the energy. Now, on top of that, we need common user infrastructure that all of the players in those areas might be able to use to be able to bring their costs down to make the economics work. And the hubs are all about making sure that infrastructure, that common user infrastructure, is in place in a way where they can use it effectively and get moving. And if you look at the history of the Newcastle port, I mean, this is exactly what was done. The players and participants in the Hunter Valley over time built the infrastructure alongside governments to make sure that they could export their products. And that's exactly what we're doing with the hydrogen industry as we move to a lower emissions economy around the world.
Okay. And people talk about blue hydrogen versus green hydrogen. Again, can you just explain what the difference is?
Well, blue hydrogen is typically made from gas and green hydrogen made from electricity. Usually, to be green, low emissions electricity, but it's made from electricity. So they are different. The cost structures are likely to be different. And initially, right now, green hydrogen is substantially more expensive to produce than blue, but that will change over time as the cost of electricity, producing electricity comes down and as the cost of turning that into hydrogen comes down. But, you know, one of the great things about the Newcastle area is you're already a hydrogen producer. I mean, this is perhaps reasonably well understood in Newcastle, it's not well understood elsewhere. You're producing a substantial amount of hydrogen right now. Orica is doing that on Kooragang Island. And so we have a hub there now. We need to expand it out. The use of hydrogen will expand out beyond just fertilizer and ammonia nitrate to transport, to electricity generation, to industrial uses, beyond the current industrial uses. And that's why we're investing in the budget, $100 million, to the Port of Newcastle to make it hydrogen ready so it can export these products. And so new players can come into the market, existing players can come expand their positions, and create products for use in Australia and around the world.
All right, so green hydrogen is not something that's way off over the horizon. It's actually with us now.
No, it's with us now. I mean, at the moment, the green hydrogen plants we see are relatively small, but they're expanding in scale very, very quickly. We've just invested in three 10-megawatt electrolyzers that make green hydrogen in Australia, and they're expanding in size quite quickly. So the costs will come down. But right now, hydrogen is almost invariably around the world and in Australia being made from gas, and that will continue for some time yet.
Right, okay. Petrol's a hot topic. The decision by the federal government in the budget to cut the fuel excise in half from 44.2 to 22.1, but only for 6 months. And I've mentioned a couple of times, I've had a couple of calls and emails. The best I've had so far is from Lee, thank you. There's a service station here selling 91 now for $1.797, which I think is the best I've seen so far. Look, everybody's pointing to Russia as being responsible for the increase in petrol prices, but I think everybody acknowledges that they've been going up for quite some time beforehand. I mean, how much can we say Russia is responsible for an increase in energy prices around the world? Or are they just the scapegoat?
Well, there's two causes, Richard. There's no doubt that what's happened in the Ukraine is a substantial cause, because Russia is a big exporter of oil and gas products around the world, and we've seen sharp increases in the price of oil and gas. That's being reflected in Australian oil prices. Not our gas prices, by the way. We've been able to contain those. But oil prices are very international, so it's very hard to avoid those. It's impossible to avoid those. So that's why we've seen those increases. But the other factor at work is during the pandemic, there was underinvestment in oil and gas development around the world. And as you rightly pointed out, that was starting to show up before what happened in the Ukraine. So both of those causes are important. The long and the short of it is we do have higher prices. We're really conscious of the impact and pain that's causing at the pump. And that's why this temporary and targeted measure is going into place, as you rightly say, 22 cents, just over 22 cents, to alleviate those cost of living pressures.
Yeah, right. And look, the Treasurer said the ACCC will keep a handle on this, but I'll state the bleeding obvious. The ACCC have been trying to keep a handle on petrol prices for many, many years without a great deal of success. What will happen if retailers don't pass on this cut in the fuel excise?
Well, I mean, Josh is right. The ACCC will keep a close eye on it. The thing the ACCC can't do is influence the international price. What influences that is supply. I mean, there's no way to beat that other than get more supply on, which is why just last week I was working with colleagues from around the world to make sure we're getting more supply coming on. So that is the overwhelming imperative. Competition locally is important. There's no greater regulator of competition than consumers, so shopping around is the key. And you know what you just did, which is to say here's where the cheapest prices are. Please, I encourage you to do it. There's lots of apps now where you can go in and keep those retailers honest. But the ACCC does have a job to make sure that these savings are being passed on. We'll continue to see fluctuations in the price of the Bowser, by the way. That's not going away. That's a function of the international oil markets.
Right. Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukraine president, will address Parliament this afternoon at 5:30, and obviously a plea for more to be done. Do you think the Australian government should be doing more to help those in Ukraine?
Well, we'll keep doing everything we reasonably can. You know, obviously, there's been an enormous amount of support through sanctions on Russia. I mean, these are unprecedented sanctions, cutting them off from international transactions, being able to access, you know, money from around the world. These are really substantial impacts that Russia is feeling right at their core. And we'll continue to do this. We'll continue to look for ways to support the Ukraine, because what you're seeing over there is just extraordinary. The resistance of a much smaller country, a country without the firepower of the Russians, is just wonderful to watch, actually, and you know, it's a really proud moment for the Parliament to be able to listen to this great and inspiring leader.
18 past seven, my guest, Australia's Energy and Emissions Reduction Minister, Angus Taylor, is with me now. Following the death of Kimberley Kitching, there were a lot of government ministers that jumped on board and accused the Labor Party of having a culture of bullying. Following the spray from Conchita Fierravanti-Wells only a couple of days ago, a pretty scathing attack on the PM, accusing him of having no conscience and being a bully. Do you think this is something that's endemic within political parties, this suggested bullying and treatment, or is it just that, you know, you've got to be a team player in politics, just like every other business, and if you're not a team player, then you depart the scene?
Oh, look, I absolutely disagree with the comments she made. I've worked very closely with Scott Morrison over recent years, and I've not seen any evidence of that. I just don't accept it. He is a great team player. He's played a lot of team sport in his life, actually, and this is one of the things that characterises him. He's a great leader. He's a great captain of the side, and I thoroughly enjoy working with him. He's always got a positive attitude. He works like a Trojan. I've rarely seen anyone who works like Scott Morrison does. And he's committed to the cause of Australians in Australia. And, you know, these comments, you've got to put them in context. Connie lost her pre-selection in the Senate fair and square. She didn't get the votes to go back into the Senate in the next term. You can understand she's upset about that. And she's done what she's done. But her comments, I think, are just played a role.
Okay. Very quickly, I spoke with Jim Chalmers, Labor's Treasury spokesperson, yesterday, and I said if he had a magic wand and he was the Treasurer, what's the one thing that he would have included in the budget that wasn't included the other night?
Oh, they should have funded the National Anti-Corruption Commission for...
The National Anti-Corruption Commission. Nothing there for that, and there doesn't seem to be any appetite on the part of the government to bring this in.
Well, that is just not right. I mean, we have laid out a very clear plan to do this. Labor doesn't like it. They want a star chamber, let's face it. That's what they're looking for. A star chamber like what we've seen in New South Wales, where three good premiers have been lost. That's what Labor likes. But look, I tell you what was in the budget that I think was fantastic was the commitment to Newcastle and the Hunter Valley. An enormous commitment.
Yes.
And, Richard, as you know, as a government, we've been thoroughly committed to the region, to the potential of it. As someone with a background as I have in industry, in energy, manufacturing, I just think this region is ready to flower. Again, as it has in the past, and things are happening, and we're investing in it, and we're going to continue to. And that's a real feature.
Speaking of investment, the AFP are investing in a special task force, bodyguards flanking a host of politicians on the campaign trail. Do you think this is a sad sign of the times, the fact that pollies in an election campaign are going to need bodyguards?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. The reality is we face risks that perhaps haven't been faced to the same extent in the past. I obviously, personally prefer not to have an entourage because I think it's just unhelpful in getting out and meeting people and engaging with people on the issues at the coalface. Personally, wherever I can avoid it, I do. But it is a sign of the times that the risks are higher than they have been in the past. I mean, I think most Australians despair at what the behaviour they see at the fringe because it's only a small number of people who are behaving in this way. The vast majority of Australians have a good heart, are getting on with their lives and doing fantastic things. And it is a disappointing when a few force these sorts of outcomes.
Right. I appreciate your time this morning. I realise it's very busy time. Would you like to give us a scoop when the election's going to be happening and when it will be announced?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Come on.
But I tell you what, there will be a great commitment to the Hunter Valley and to Newcastle when it is.
Good. Good to hear. Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Good on you. Thanks, Ben.
Angus Taylor, our Energy and Emissions Reduction Minister.